If I were to take you out of the church this morning, just before I leave from the vestry, I think you would be absolutely amazed at the weight that is in my bag. And you see, it's not just the fact that these robes are quite heavy and very protective and really very good in the winter time. It's not one reason for becoming a minister, but you might think about it. But also in my bag are many, many objects that I have collected over the years to deliver addresses to one group or another. This morning, I brought one with me. I probably purchased it about 30 years ago, and I got it in a chemist's. Now, I'm looking around to see who might be clever enough to guess what I've been carrying in my bag, bought in a chemist some 30 years ago. Any hands going up? Oh, there's a surprise. No, some. What do you think it was? It's very small. I've got it in my hand, and I think you might recognize what it is. What is it? It's a dummy. Who might we have a dummy for? Don't look at each other. This for a baby, for a young child, with the intention that it would be something that would take its tears and its crying away, whether a girl or a boy. It is a dummy. It has another name, which is sometimes used. Anybody going to tell me the other name? Somebody shout it. It is a comforter. A comforter. And I wonder if any of you can tell me, surprisingly, the Latin word from which it comes. It comes from the Latin word fortis, which means brave, which indeed means courageous. A dummy, brave, courageous, but some children, as you know, are really quite old before ceasing to use a comforter. And I find myself this week pondering that Latin word fortis, from which we derive the English brave or courageous. And I could not stop thinking about all those little babies who were murdered, all those parents who lost unexpectedly a child. In these situations, parents need courage. They need to remember that God loves us and he calls us home at his time, not ours. But we also have to remember that there is something that we need to do about our society, because the size of the crime was great, but that crime continues to happen in every country of our world. A comforter. God's love. Jesus' way. I'm sure that most of you at some time or another are aware that your mind flits from one subject to another, not necessarily linked in any particular way, but you're cozy and you're warm and you're just drifting and your mind wanders and you pick up thoughts from sometimes many years in the past. This week, as I was reading again the lessons that I had chosen to be read this morning, I remembered having a conversation with a young lady who was at that time a member of my communicants class in Ellen, some 30-odd years ago. And she was taking very seriously the promise. This is not me just reminding you of it because it's your promise as well, but it does help. She was taking seriously the promise that Christians make to God, that in becoming members of Christ's church, they would be faithful readers of Scripture. And this young lady had been reading religiously, one might say, and she had been reading the Old Testament, had read the passage which we heard read this morning, and she was concerned about what she was reading. She found it very difficult to reconcile the slaughter of so many innocent people, the contrast between that and with a loving Heavenly Father. And I remember saying to her that she had to be very careful how she read the Bible, and better, if possible, for her to read it in conjunction with so many of the texts which explain what has been written down. And I was able to say to her that she had to understand one of the great things that this passage that we read this morning was set to convey to us. It was the great thoughts of the Jews of their time when they were thinking of their massacre of their opponents, that this was the one way that they might be able to save themselves from being tainted by becoming so close to those who worshipped other gods or were in fact totally heathen. They knew, the specially chosen children of God. They knew that they were to be his people, and they knew, because of what had happened prior, that they were at risk of being tainted by the heathens, those of a lower faith. And rather than risk the possibility of being contaminated by these who did not worship the one true God, they had to destroy all these men, women, and children. That was the only way they seemed to be able to think that they could remove the danger. The Jews had grasped the fact that purity of their religion was to be safeguarded at all or any cost. But at that stage of their understanding, it called for the killing of the so-called heathen. When Jesus came, man's understanding of his or her relationship with God became clearer, became better. Understood that the purity of religion should be achieved by converting the heathen through leading them to God. People of the Old Testament had grasped a great truth, but had still much to achieve in the way that they carried out what was being asked of them. From that young lady, my mind flitted to a totally different era and to a totally different group of people. I remembered chairing a pre-retirement course for about 30 ministers and spouses who were soon to retire. I was at that time convener of the Church of Scotland Pension Trustees, and every year we took those about to retire through this course to give them some understanding of the changes that they would need to make or would be forced upon them. And there were something like 30 couples there at Creef Hydro, ministers and spouses, and they were there to learn, to understand something of what their future was going to be like. And it was a much better future than they had imagined it would be. Housing, which for many of them they thought would be a problem, would not be such because of the Church of Scotland Housing and Loan Fund for ministers and family. They would have the opportunity to choose their own home wherever they wanted to retire to. They would be given the finance either to buy it or to rent it. If they rented it, the rent would be at a non-commercial rate. And so there was one area of worry which was taken away from them. But there were others. Suddenly, they would no longer be having people come to them for care and comfort. They would not be the comforters that they had been for so long. But still, there would be opportunity. And many of those ministers, as you can imagine, and indeed spouses as well, had spent many hours reading and digesting the passages that we read this morning. And they had a better understanding of the young lady in a communicants class. And they still had the opportunity in different places and at different times to give of their knowledge and their understanding. When I wrote that down in my notes, I thought, heaven help the congregation of Pitlochry. But comforting is important, and it is not just for those who are ordained as ministers. For example, in this congregation, there will be so many elders district, and the elder will have this need to comfort often in his district for all sorts of different reasons. Comfort often takes courage to go and speak to somebody about a difficult subject. Don't forgo the gift that God gives you to be a comforter to those who are in need. And when you think of these ministers and their wives, you can see the importance of our New Testament lesson. Look at the birds flying around. They don't sow seeds. They don't gather a harvest. They don't put into barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Are you not worth far more than birds? And the answer that I give you is very simple. The answer is yes, you are worth far more than that. And you know the passage about the flowers. You will be looked after. You will be cared. My mind flitting was not over. Having gone from one to two, I went to three. My mind gave me the picture of a hospital room. A lady in the bed, a young lady, a young gentleman, clearly her husband, by her side. And also in that room, the surgeon who had completed the surgery. She lay there with a face that was distorted. Clearly, the operation had not been as the surgeon would have wanted it to be. He had removed a tiny, tiny tumor from her cheek, but in the operation, he had cut, unfortunately, nicked a nerve. And so a mouth was now twisted. And the young lady on the bed said to the surgeon, "Will my mouth always be like this?" And the surgeon said, "Yes, it will. It is because the nerve has been cut." The young woman nods her head and is silent. But the young man, her husband, smiles. "I like it," he says. "It's cute." "And all at once," said the surgeon, "I sensed their togetherness, and I lowered my gaze. One is not bold in an encounter with God." He believed that God was there in that room. Unmindful of the surgeon's presence, the husband bends down to kiss his wife's puckered mouth. And the surgeon says that he is so close, he can see how the husband twists his own lips to accompany his with hers, to show that their kiss still works, that they still will share the love that has bound them together. A woman seeking to understand Scripture, men and women to the age of retirement, wondering what those retiring or retired years will be like, and a couple who know that their life together will not be as they have thought it might be. They would need comforting. They would draw their own courage from one another. That is what we do in our life. And you may say these are three quite different situations, but the link is an awareness of something outside oneself. The link is revelation. It is God making himself known through Scripture. It's God making himself known through interpretation and through the revelation of his love and in the lives of men and women like us. The link is the understanding that God alone knows everything. And we have to understand that revelation comes to us perhaps from the person next to you, somebody at work, somebody with whom you play golf, but there are people who are able to touch you and draw from you your own courage and your own bravery as they seek to show you how much they care for you. The link is indeed the understanding that God alone knows everything. And we have to understand that revelation comes to us from a living person. It may be the person next to you. And the more we are open, the more we become alive to Jesus' way, and the more he will be able to teach us. He will enable us to be comforters. He will enable us to show courage as we deal with those who are in desperate straits. And sometimes we will do it with a touch, maybe even a kiss, often with a word and the touch of a hand or the glance of an eye, which speaks volumes. But all of these convey one's concern, convey one's readiness to give support, to be a comforter, to be in ourself courageous. And so this morning, my plea to all of you, don't miss the opportunities when they come to be the dummy, to be the comforter, to be the Word of God made flesh. Be a Christian and follow Jesus' way and enable it to allow you to be one who comforts and loves for his sake.